in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. I'm Matt, and this week I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
And Jesse.
Hi.
And we're going to be doing a What You Doing, where we talk about what's going on in our lives that's geeky and fun. And we're going to start with books, because I know everybody's been reading really hard.
I'm going to go first.
I guess. Okay, go ahead.
Yay! Yay for me. Okay, so... I just got done with the third book in the Mists of Avalon series called Lady of Avalon, and it was true to form. Marion Zimmer Bradley was really imaginative and not sure about historical accuracy, but she tends to try to lean toward that when she as she writes her books. But I just finished that one, and then I started Lucifer's Son by some Slavic guy named that I don't know how to pronounce. And so far, we're just going to have to see. I'm a few pages in, and it's really short third grade sentences so far.
Okay.
So those are the two books that I've been reading.
What's Mists of Avalon about?
Okay, Mists of Avalon is the retelling of the King Arthur story from a different point of view. It's actually from the point of view of the priestesses of Avalon that help Arthur actually become king. It's a retelling from a historical point of view rather than the quote-unquote fairy tale kind of point of view.
So you just finished you finished book three, The Stag King. Is that correct?
No, it's book three, The Lady of Avalon.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. That's the third part of the Mists of Avalon book.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, The Stag King is the third part of the Mists of Avalon book. Actually, you can break the Mists of Avalon down into three books or three parts. So okay. There was the Lady of Avalon, or the Mists of Avalon, which is the first one, the Forest House, which is the second one, which I believe can be broken down into a couple parts to make either one or two books, and then the Lady of Avalon, which is the third book that I just finished.
Okay, and then, so you still have the Priestess of Avalon, the Ancestors of Avalon, the Ravens of Avalon, and the Sword of Avalon.
Yep, there are seven books in the series.
Okay, cool.
So this one's going along much quicker than the Wheel of Time.
So when you say that it's an Arthurian retelling, like how quickly is the standard Arthur gets the sword, becomes king of Avalon, how quickly is that over and something else starts happening?
No, that's actually The Stag King, which is the third book in the Mists of Avalon, or the third part in the Mists of Avalon, is actually when he is crowned. So the telling of the story goes from when he is born, when he and his sister are born, and then they are split up as children. They grew really close, and then they're split up as children, and his sister, Morgaine. His sister Morgaine is sent to Avalon to become a priestess of the goddess, and it goes on from there on his growing up and her growing up and them being separated, and how she evolves into the priestess, and then into, as you know, in the Arthur or the in the Arthurian legend, he sleeps with his sister, and then they beget Mordred. God, I'm using Bible terms, not beget. But when they come together, they she gets pregnant with Mordred, which in the end is the person that goes against him. Well, And from the historical perspective, she takes it to, because they've been separated, if you know anything about the religious background, a religious pagan background of priestesses and the Great Rite, which is when the two people assume the personas of the god and the goddess. They come together, and that is actually what happens in the Mists of Avalon. But because they're masked, neither one of them knows that it's each other, and both of them feel betrayed after the rite is over.
So it's accidental incest? Like, that's not me trying to be flippant.
Yeah, right. It definitely is. You know, he's picked as the Stag King to, and defender of Britannia. He's the defender of the Isle, and he's chosen to be so because something is seen within his spirit. And then she is being initiated as the High Priestess of Avalon, and this is the rite in which that happens.
I see.
And even the people who are putting this together knowingly are putting them together. And so part of the story goes, you know, she becomes impregnated with Mordred. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if in this telling, I remember the movie and Mordred does betray Arthur, but I can't remember how it goes succinctly in the book. But it's an interesting, dramatic, and if you like the Arthurian legend, I think you definitely would love this book.
Okay. And the son of Satan, what was that about?
Lucifer's son. I just started the book today, and so far, I actually saw a commercial on TV for this book, so I was like, oh my gosh, that looks dramatic and amazing, and I'm just going to go download it right now. And I downloaded it, but starting to read it today, I'm like 7 pages in, and literally most of the sentences are no more than 5 to 7 words long. There's no description. You have to make all of the scenery up in your head. It's like you're hearing the story from a mentally ill ADD person. ADHD.
So this would be written by Sergei Mavrotin?
Yes. Yes, okay. That gentleman.
I'm just saying that's an awesome name. I don't have a problem with your review so far. He has a sweet name.
Is this his first book, or is he written that way on purpose?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't done any research. So Matt, can you give us a little background? Because you're obviously checking this out.
Give me just a second. I did a brief Google search.
Because the thing was,
this looks like his only book. But the good news is, it's the first book of the Temptation Chronicles.
Oh dear Lord!
It has 3.5 stars reviewed on Amazon.
Out of 5,
which makes me feel sketchy because there's that's only one review. Google shopping review is a 2-star review. This came out in 2015. So it's likely that it's got 3 stars on Goodreads.
Oh my gosh, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of The Room.
No, don't say that, because that was badly enjoyable.
Wow.
Anyway, okay, so that one's... So you haven't gotten very far in that one yet.
Yeah, I just feel like Tommy is the main character. Or not Tommy, but what's his name?
Denny. Hi, Denny.
No, who's not Danny? Who is it, Tommy?
Oh, hi, Denny.
Damien?
It's not, just for the record, it's not Denny. Or Danny. It's not Denny. It's Danny. Oh, hi, Denny.
So the main person in that film, I feel like he is the one that is speaking throughout this whole book.
Oh, you mean Johnny?
Johnny.
Johnny's a good man.
Yes.
I just don't love him anymore.
Exactly. That's it. Like, right there. Those are the sentences. I'm not kidding.
Danny. Oh, hi, Danny. Jesse, have you seen The Room?
No.
You need to see The Room.
You know how bad Dillinger's Dead was?
Yeah.
Imagine it was badly shot just like that, and the story was just as bad, but it was enjoyably bad.
Okay.
This is like, you're just like, what the heck is going on here? It's so bad that at one point, one of the main characters, Denny, says, "Tommy, no," to the character whose name is Johnny, played by Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
And they didn't edit it out.
Really?
Yeah. it's... There will be a review coming for that. I just have to find the time to sit down with George and Allie and Shirley to review this, because we watched it per George's request, and it is a heck of a movie.
We're
on books. Let's keep going on books.
Lucifer's Son, just like that.
Jesse, have you read any books lately?
Yes, actually. It's another school book, because school, and that's all I do. It's called Imaginative Writing by Janet Burroway. And I've been through a lot of writing classes, and I've read a lot of writing books. And this is one of the best ones I've actually read. Unfortunately, it's the first school book I've rented. So even though I've rented it, I'm not going to have to buy it.
Fair enough.
But it has a lot of writing prompts. If you ever want to do creative nonfiction, this is the kind of book to do that with.
Okay.
That being said, okay, I don't like creative nonfiction, apparently.
Well, and, you know, each their own. So that's the only thing you've been reading lately?
That, and I've been reading some H.P. Lovecraft short stories, The Cats of Uther, things like that. But I'll talk about that when we get to apps.
Okay. I just finished up the seventh book of the Wheel of Time series, and decided that I had read seven books in a row and it was time to take a break, because it was starting to drone on, and I'm not sure if it's the place in the books or if it's just...
The fact that it's the Wheel of Time?
No, or if it's just me, because it's been the same. I literally read 1 through 7 all in a row since just before we went to Ireland in September. So it's been a lot of reading. So I consulted with my book advisors and was told that I should pick up Terry Pratchett's books from Discworld, and I thought, you know, it's time I got into this series called Discworld. And when I asked what book I should start with, it was suggested to me I start with Going Postal. Jesse, have you read any of the Terry Pratchett books?
I've read The Colors Magic, I think, is the first one, and I think I've read the second one. I'm trying to read them in order, but that's not the best way to do it.
Well, and I will say, Terry Pratchett's books do not require you to read them in order. You're not missing out on a lot if you don't, is what I'm told. Going Postal introduces Moist von Lipwig as the main character, who is promptly killed off in the first chapter. But then you learn about his story, because he's not dead, but he is. So, it's very interesting. The writing style for Terry Pratchett is very smooth while being, it's like having hijinks all the time. It's nothing but hijinks. The whole freaking book is hijinks, and I'm not sure I'm upset with that. There's absurdity to a very high level. Literally, the story is about this criminal who is killed but saved at the last minute from a hanging, and his punishment is either to die or to become Postmaster General. And that's all they tell you. So he has to revive the postal service in Ankh-Morpork. I think that's the name of the city. I could be wrong. I kind of glaze over the name of the city because it's weird. I do that with weird place names sometimes.
Unfortunately, it's a very important city in the series. You'll be changing it a lot.
That's fine. Anyway, so he takes over the postal service, and you learn things. It's very interesting, well-written, well-thought-out, but it's like someone was half insane as they wrote it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it makes it more enjoyable. It's easy to read. The characters are always thinking ahead of what you're reading, which I feel like before the characters say something, they've thought about it, unless they're in a situation where they couldn't have. The characters have very specific personalities, and the writing denotes their their speech patterns. So one of the characters didn't learn geometry or geography. He learned he failed to learn geometry, and it's spelled J-O-M-M, itry, whatever, and geography, and it's spelled just like it sounds, so you understand how he's speaking. And I find that that gives a depth to the characters that is often overlooked with how people are writing. There's a lot of apostrophes in the middle of words to show contraction of normal words, but because these people are either uneducated or differently educated, it contracts how they say speak. I've been very, very happy with this book. I'm like halfway through it. I picked it up last week. That's how quickly I'm going through it because it's so easy to read. It is a little bit on the shorter side compared to something like Wheel of Time, but it's really, really good. And Going Postal is like the 12th book or 13th book in the series, but it's the first book of the Moist Von Lipwig storyline. So I find it exceedingly good. And if you're a fantasy, if you're a fantasy lover who doesn't mind going a little wacky, this might be something you should pick up. If you're a fantasy lover, if you're a fantasy lover and you like a little bit of wacky, you should definitely pick this up. If you're a fantasy lover and you're okay with a little wacky here and there, then go for it. I will warn you ahead of time, if you're a completionist and you want to know about the world before you get into the world, don't bother. It's driving me a little crazy because they tell you just about the things you need to know and leave the rest of the world alone. So they're like, oh, well, what about this city over there? And explain nothing about it. Like, they reference it, but because it's not important to the story, they leave it alone. So the story building, the world building is very specific to the story only.
To be fair, though, I think the other cities are done in their own books, too.
That's
so
true.
So the more you read, the more it would build the city.
Well,
world.
I also consulted our...
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to ask. I was going to say, does each book kind of build the world?
A little bit here and there, but I talked with Johnny about Terry Pratchett. He's a big fan, and he said that Pratchett has a way of writing the story in a way that you don't know anything, but if you need to know it, he explains it to you. So if it's not directly involved in the story, he just doesn't bother telling you about it because it's not important to this story. So the other cities could be very clearly walked through. There's a point where we meet in this book that you meet a golem, and he's like, I've been around for 9,000 years that I've spent on the bottom of the ocean from this previous city. And they're like, we've never heard of it. He's like, you wouldn't have. It was gone before, you know, it was gone 9,000 years ago. Why would you know anything about that? So he sets up this history of the world that he just hand waves because it's not important to the story, other than this golem is so old that it remembers things that don't even show up in histories anymore. So, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. It's very interesting. I'm going to probably read the rest of the Moist Von Lipwig series and then go back to Wheel of Time, but I'm going to definitely tear through these first. It's a lot of words on just that one book, but it's really good.
Yeah, if you like it, I highly suggest the one he worked with Neil Gaiman called Good Omens.
I've heard good things about Good Omens. I think I am going to hammer out the Moist Von Lipwig, though, and then head back to the Wheel of Time. I really feel like I want to complete the Wheel of Time and then come back to some of Terry Pratchett's stuff. So that's books for us. Podcasts. Jesse, have you been listening to podcasts?
I have. Well, there's a game called Fallout 4, and we'll probably talk about that during the games.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's about all I've been listening to is Fallout 4 podcasts, and I've got quite a few of them on my list here. Some are dead, some are dying, some are good. The Death Clause, there's only 10 episodes, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
They haven't come out with a new one in 2 months, so I'm a little worried. Vault IGN, Season 1 is over, and they're going to pick it back up when a DLC drops. They're very good with information and news. Off the Record, they're very comical.
Yeah, are you enjoying? I started listening to Off the Record, then I stopped because I wasn't playing, and I was getting frustrated because I wasn't playing.
Yeah, I enjoy them when they're not doing the Let's Plays while they're doing the podcast because they get really distracted. And it's also a YouTube channel, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes when they record, they'll play the game in the background, and you can tell something's going on in the background because the recording just goes dead for like a minute.
I see.
And,
okay.
And then the Fallout feed is one of the best ones I've listened to so far. They're doing something now called a round table game where they randomly pick each other's stats and perks. And then they play through the game in a way that has never been played.
Okay.
And they do certain quests and hit certain mile markers by the next podcast and explain how their perks force them to play the game.
Hmm.
And apparently they've been doing this with Skyrim too, so I might go back and listen to
that. What was the name of that one?
The Fallout feed.
The Fallout feed? Okay.
And they're regular about once a week.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm actually pretty interested in the Fallout feed now. So I'm going to go subscribe to that. Thanks. Shirley, have you been listening to any podcasts?
No, not really.
Because you don't like podcasts?
It's not that I don't like podcasts. I have a ton of podcasts on my phone. I don't have time to, you know, I literally have to pick in the evening whether I read the rest of this book or I read a chapter in this book or I listen to podcasts, and I would rather read and be submerged in a story than I don't know, listen to a podcast.
Well, then honestly, I've got a podcast I want to suggest to you since we're going to transition into mine. It's called We're Alive. It's a short form radio drama about the zombie apocalypse.
Oh my gosh, it sounds amazing.
It's actually I've been really impressed with it. The episodes are like 10, 15, 20 minutes long. Some of them get as long as 25, but that's the long end. And they're in parts. So each chapter has three parts. And it just goes through, like, you don't have to listen to all of it at once. And if you get to the end of the chapter, which is like every three episodes or so, you can stop. And it's a good stopping point, so you can set it down for a little bit. The only problem I've ever had with it is, I've got two problems. It's old, as in they've been doing it for a while, not that it isn't still going. They've been doing it since 2009, although the last update was in May of 2015. But they have a lot of episodes, so that might be a problem. The other thing is they're a little quiet, but it's good voice acting and good audio effects. So I think it's worth checking out and seeing what if it works for what you're looking at, because I know sometimes you prefer a story rather than just people talking and joking
right.
around.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it a good storyline?
It is so far. I've listened to the first two chapters. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Okay.
I haven't listened to it yet, but it's talked about in the same circles as the people who listen to Welcome to Night Vale.
Okay.
As being along the same lines. And it has ended, but from what I understand, it ended because they wanted it to, not because they ran out of stuff.
So oh, okay.
It has
okay,
a very clear
enough.
Ending. You don't have to worry about it just dropping off.
Oh, good, good. And if that's the case, it was good. It's good for the first two chapters. I don't know about chapter. It looks like they went through chapter 47, so I don't know if it's good after that, or all the way up to there, but the first two chapters were solid. I've also been listening to the Worst Idea of All Time podcast, where two guys for 52 weeks in a row watch Grown Ups 2 every week and talk about the movie for 25 minutes. And I will say this. One, they consistently are right at 25 minutes every week, all the time. Number two, it is excruciating for them, which makes it very entertaining for us. I'm on episode 10, and they've made the Worst Idea of All Time podcast, Grown Ups 2 Drinking Game. It's a really long name. But essentially, they tell you when to drink in the movie and guarantee that you will be drunk enough to pass out at the end of it. So that's pretty good. I like sharing other people's pain, so I've never seen Grown Ups 2, and I have no interest in seeing it, and they don't suggest you see it. But they don't. They watch it every week for 52 weeks in a row. And I think they just finished up. They're just about to finish up. Next week they finish up. So that sounds like fun. And then I've also been listening to The Sweep Spot, which is a podcast about Disney from the view of Disney custodial agents or former Disney custodial agents, talking about the park, what they like, the things people do at the parks, the terrible things that happen, so on and so forth. It's pretty good. I am enjoying it quite a bit. So those are the new ones that I've been listening to. I'm running through some stuff you missed in history class. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I finally caught up on Good Job Brain, so I'm excited about that. But those are the new ones that I've been listening to mostly that I've been really enjoying. So yeah, those are pretty good. Let's move on to games. Jesse, hey, I start this one. Ha, look at that. So mostly for games, I've been playing the Civilization IV, two expansions, Beyond the Sword, something the Sword, the Warlords of the Sword, something. Beyond the Sword and Warlords, the two expansions. I hadn't downloaded them before, and I got them off Steam for very, very cheap. I think the two of them together were like $5. Civilization 4 itself was like $7. So if you want to play Civ 4, now's the time to go buy it, because you're going to get the whole thing for maybe $20. Most of it's just mods and expansions. Some new tech and new units. There are a couple that are actually like full scenarios with brand new units and new ways that things work, including one that takes place in space. So that was interesting to play in a different way while still playing a lot of the same concepts of Civilization. I had a lot of fun with that. And then I've been playing Fallout 4 a little bit, but I'm sure Jesse would like to talk about that.
I'm pretty sure we're all going to talk about it. Shirley's been playing it, hasn't she?
No, Shirley has not been playing it. Right, Shirley?
Did we lose Shirley? Yes, you're right. I haven't been playing it.
Okay. Just thought we lost you for a second. You're fine. So yeah, Jesse, why don't you tell us a little, what is Fallout 4 exactly? What is this game people talk about?
Fallout 4 is technically the fifth expansion in the Fallout universe.
Seventh.
Is it seventh? There were a couple of...
Tactics 2 and Brotherhood of Steel.
There were two Tactics? I knew there was
I enjoyed
the first one.
Maybe it's just six then. Maybe I'm thinking Tactics is... Maybe not.
Brotherhood
maybe
of Steel
not
doesn't count.
It does. It absolutely does. Anyway, so you were saying...
Yeah, it's all about a guy who's trying to find his kid in a post-nuclear wasteland. Other than that, it's just a great game. It's hard for me to explain. They've got world building, a little bit of The Sims in it, mm-hmm. where you can scrap goods and build up your settlements.
Yeah.
If you've ever played Skyrim, it's kind of like Skyrim with guns.
Yeah. I've not played Skyrim, but that's the
Well, Skyrim's kind of like Fallout with swords.
You can get swords in Fallout.
But it's a bad idea to try to take out a super mutant holding a nuke with a sword.
This is true.
Found that out the hard way.
Yeah, by the way, Super Mutant Suiciders, brand new unit in this game. They essentially blow up with a mini nuke. They're dumb. I hate them. They're stupid. Thankfully, they beep, or they would suck a lot more.
Yes, and you can shoot their arm, which sets off the nuke.
This is true.
Of course, you lose a very valuable nuke that way.
Yeah, but sometimes it's better that way. So Jesse, you've been playing. How many hours do you have in the game?
I just crossed 101.
Okay, I'm not sure. I honestly haven't looked, but I've been playing a lot. And I'm actually higher level than you, so I may have more time in than you.
Very likely.
Maybe not. Unlike previous Fallout 4s, this does not have a level cap.
You mean other Fallouts.
Yes, all other Fallouts. This doesn't have a level cap, which is nice. I like that. It's a little looser on the perk system and how you build up a character. I like that, too. There's a lot of good improvements they made, but it's still just as glitchy as the old stuff.
And
that's really frustrating. The other day, I couldn't fire my gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which, by the way, when you're being attacked by dudes with missile launchers, not the best time for your gun to not fire.
Oh, I had one of my companions was stuck walking sideways and thus wouldn't get into the elevator I needed to get him into, so I had to throw a grenade underneath him to prop him back up.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
But yeah,
and it didn't kill him?
No, it didn't even really make
your companions. your companions can't really die. They can get hurt in combat, but they heal after combat's over, or you can stim pack them in combat.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's better than other Fallout games, because in the older versions, your companion used to only be a pack mule because they could die, so you'd load them up with gear and have them wait outside a building while you went in and took care of business. And then you go back.
Oh, see, I never did that. I just had them run in with me. I never lost one.
Yeah, well, in Fallout 3, it wasn't a problem. In New Vegas, if you played Survival, they died.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I like Survival.
I forgot about that.
Fallout 4 does Hardcore. Have problems.
It
has less... your choices don't seem to matter as much. You get the same end slide no matter who you side with.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The way to get to it's different.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, fair enough.
In every Fallout game I've played, I've had a strong urge to replay the game as a different way. This is the first one where I haven't had that urge, but I wanted to just keep playing the same guy.
Yeah. Have you completed the main quest yet?
Yes.
Okay. So you are farther in the main quest than I am, but I've done about every side quest I can possibly
do. You?
Yeah. Like all of them. Like the ones I found on accident. I still did all those.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think the only side quest I haven't done is to fix the radio station host, and I'm working on that one. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to or not. I like the way he is being all powered.
This is true.
After a certain point, something happens, and he says everything goes on just fine, and then towards the end of it, he just screams and says, "We're all going to die."
Yep, that is the best part.
Yeah.
I would say, so besides that, have you been playing anything else,
Yeah,
Jesse?
On the 3DS, there's a game called Fire Emblem Fates. It is a turn-based strategy game, and I've enjoyed the series for a while. It's a good addition, pretty much more of the same, but...
So turn-based strategy as in I thought Fire Emblem was an RPG.
It isn't. It's more of a... Well, if you remember when Baldur's Gate would go into combat, it would pause and let you do things.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, but the whole thing is done. You make a move, they make a move. I have a hard time explaining strategy role-playing games because...
So it's a little like chess?
A lot, yes, exactly. It's chess with better graphics.
Okay, no, it's fine. I mean, that's...
And storyline.
That's the... So it's like 4th edition D&D.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you're enjoying that?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Shirley, are you playing any games lately?
No, not really. I mean, because I'm out here for my job in North Carolina, the only thing I really have been playing is my Vikings app.
Well, good, because when you get home, we have a game you have to play that we got as a review copy called Here Kitty Kitty. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my goodness.
What is it?
That sounds amazing.
It's called Here Kitty Kitty. I believe you play a crazy cat lady.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Here Kitty Kitty, a crazy cat collecting game from Fireside Games. 3 to 6 players, ages 10 and up. This is a brand new game. Actually, isn't even out yet. This was sent as a review copy. We really appreciate that from Fireside Games.
Fireside puts out some good stuff.
They do. I haven't opened it yet, but there's got to be, well, I guess I could count, or I could look on the back. There are 40 cats. 40 cat miniatures come in this game.
I have to get it.
So, yeah, I thought surely you and I could play this with your sister. I have a feeling that she has some knowledge in this particular...
She may just win.
She might. Your neighborhood has a cat problem. The problem is that all the cats don't belong to you. Everyone in the neighborhood wants to claim those adorable kitties for themselves. In this competitive card game, you outwit your fellow feline fiends as you play cards to lure cats onto your property, move cats into your house, and steal cats from your neighbors. All's fair in love and cat collecting.
Oh my gosh, we have to ask Susan to play.
Clearly not the most serious game, but it sounds fun. I think I'm going to enjoy it. I think Shirley and I will both enjoy it.
Yeah.
And Fireside puts out good games. I've never played anything of theirs that I went, meh, this is okay. All their games have been great, so
right.
I'm looking forward to it. let's start with apps then with Shirley again. Shirley, do you have any apps that you've been really playing with lately?
So I'm in North Carolina for my job. And
so you Ingressed?
What?
So you Ingressed?
Oh, God, yeah, I did Ingress. I went downtown. Actually, Greensboro sits right next to, I don't even know what it's called. I guess it's the Greensboro or Gateway City Gate College, something like that. And so I went over on campus and I took down some green guys and put up some fields, and I was having a little fun on a Sunday afternoon. So
right on.
Yeah, I Ingressed and Vikings.
Okay, that all you've been doing on apps?
Yeah, that I mean, other than, you know, Facebook and Google and my mail and stuff like that, that's about it.
Okay, all right, Jesse, how about you?
App wise, I have a new app called HP Lovecraft.
Okay.
I don't think I've talked about it on this before. I might have.
Is this an iOS app?
No, it's on Android. It might be iOS. Yeah. I'm not positive.
No, we can move on. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's got short stories, novels, a section of his pseudo-history.
Okay.
His unfinished works, the letters he wrote to other people, everything the man has ever written is on this app.
Interesting. Did you pay for the app?
No, it's absolutely free. All of his work, from what I understand, has gone free, so anybody can do whatever they want to with it.
Public domain is what you're looking for. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's all a nice, handy app. I have a good-sized phone now, so I just use it to read
it. Okay. Fair enough.
Awesome.
Anything else, Jesse?
That's it.
I just finished all of the levels of Slay.
Oh, really? All of them?
I've beaten all of the normal levels of Slay. There are a bunch I can still buy, but I've beaten all the normal levels, and I'm going back to beat them at the highest level. So I've been playing Slay. I also have been using the remote control app for Apple TV, and it is pretty awesome to not have to worry about where my remote is. I can just use my phone. I'm really getting into it. I like it quite a bit. That sounds kind of ridiculous, but it is a really good app for what it's supposed to do. And those are really the two apps I've been using lately. I don't get a chance to do much else on my phone now that I have Fallout because I'm busy. Yeah, that would be the big ones. So, Jesse, why don't you finish us up, start on books and, movie and TV.
Okay. Well, I've got a good thing and a bad thing. TV-wise, I've been watching a TV show called Archer. I have no idea why it took me this long to start watching this TV series. It is phenomenal.
This is how we get ants, Jesse.
It is. Like, I now understand half the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Archer is really good for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Shirley, do you like Archer?
No, I don't.
Okay. But she just hasn't seen enough episodes.
Yeah, well, she's in the danger zone.
Oh, yeah.
Shirley, you're in the danger zone.
No, I'm not.
Danger zone!
No, there's no danger zone.
Danger zone. So, Shirley, would you say it's like a road that you went on? A road to a place of danger? Are you like on a highway, maybe?
I will quit this podcast. I will quit it right now.
I have no idea how she could not like it. But the other thing I've been watching, movie-wise, was The Good Dinosaur.
Okay.
Now, I've never seen a Pixar movie I've been disappointed in, and I am slightly disappointed in this. It ends well. Its medium is good. Its middle is good. It starts horrible. They could have easily vetted it out 20 minutes out of the start of this movie that just isn't needed. And I don't know what they were thinking. I almost didn't give it enough of a chance to finish it.
Interesting. Okay.
But if you're going to watch it, and you like Pixar movies, rough out the first 20 minutes, because it does pick up. It could have been so much better.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, good to note. I just finished Justified, all of it.
Oh.
It the last two episodes, actually, I'll say I got like 8 episodes in, and I felt like they could have wrapped up the series there, or a little bit, like one more episode to wrap up the series, and it went till 13. I was not disappointed with the ending. It was actually a little emotionally complete, like it felt right with how it happened. My only issue was that there are some points that could have been told better or faster. But I thought that Walter Goggins and Timothy Oliphant were fantastic in it. Ava Jolie, I don't think that's, it's not Ava. Her character's name is Ava. The girl that play the woman that plays Ava Crowder, she's phenomenal. It felt very good to watch a series where characters actually learned and changed and had to become something better, and you got to cheer for them to become that while they're still being a little questionable on what they're doing, but you can see that it's for the good, and FX doesn't put a lot of those out, I'll be honest. Their dramas are typically bad guys doing bad things that you're still rooting for. This was a good guy doing bad, questionable things, but he was still really a good guy. He just was a little angry and fast on the trigger. So that was really, really good. I enjoyed all that quite a bit. I haven't watched any movies lately. We watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was good. You know what? I apologize to anyone that has ever told me, heard me say that I did not enjoy Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, and I thought it was going to be stupid, because that movie was actually good. It wasn't fantastic.
The Michael Bay one?
Yeah.
It wasn't
fantastic. It wasn't going to be like knock my socks off good. Megan Fox could have been played by any, or the April O'Neil could have been played by anybody other than Megan Fox and been better. But the movie itself was enjoyable and not terrible. I had fun with it. I'm looking forward to the second one because I'm going to have fun with Rock City and Bebop and Kang. Krang?
Yeah, Krang. That's going to be awesome.
So that'll be fun. I watched that with Shirley. What else have I been watching? I watched the whole first season of Seinfeld because it's on Hulu. So that was fun. Man, we picked up the Apple TV and I have not watched enough of anything other than Seinfeld.
Yeah, you need to hurry up and get all the stuff that I don't like out of your system while I'm gone.
Yeah, like Seinfeld.
Yeah, like Seinfeld.
You don't like Seinfeld either?
Oh, God.
Well, I think Shirley would enjoy Justified.
I don't get the quirky comedy of that stuff.
The trick is they're horrible people. And they don't realize
generally. Well, they're not horrible people in the first season. They're questionable. They have questionable morals at times. They're not like terrible people, but like they make kind of iffy choices. They turn into horrible people as the series goes on. But that's okay because it's a show about nothing, and it really is about nothing.
Yeah, I want some stuff with a bite and depth, and I can't watch empty TV because I don't have time to waste on stuff like that.
You should watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Then
I've never watched it, so I don't know
is that the one with Danny DeVito?
Yes,
and Charlie Day.
I'll try it.
Yeah, Charlie Day, the guy from Pacific Rim.
It's one you might like.
The guy that
still
was in
has the kind
of Anarchy.
No. The one of the scientists, the crazy kooky scientist. That's Charlie Day.
Oh. Huh.
It's a silly comedy about horrible people, but it's still done in a way that
sounds like Seinfeld.
but it has that they are truly horrible people. But it's got plot and heart.
Okay, I'll try it.
No, serious.
So how many episodes should I give it?
It's one of those sort of shows. Well, DeVito doesn't come in until the second season. But it's one of those kind of shows that he was put on as a guest star.
Uh-huh.
And asked to stay.
It's because he's amazing.
He likes it so much. Yeah. I mean, he asked them to stay a part of the show.
It's got several seasons. Several.
Yeah. It's a long one. It's still on.
Yeah. It's been running since 2005.
Honestly,
oh my gosh.
If you don't like it after two episodes, you probably won't. but it's interesting. I know you'll like it, Matt.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I probably will. I would say that's about it. I watched a little bit. I've been exploring a little bit of HBO and Showtime since we have those now, just to see what's there. I haven't watched any movies on those because I didn't look at the movies. I didn't think to. What was the other thing? I've been watching Star Trek Voyager just because I haven't seen it all, and I need to prep myself for later when I have to watch it. But that's about it, really. That's what I've been watching. Shirley, have you been watching? Oh, we watched Vikings. Shirley, tell us about Vikings.
Amazing. It's amazing. I don't know what the thing is. Like, you either like Vikings or you don't. And
I didn't do it.
See, yeah. It's just
Jesse.
It's
I will say
that.
Jesse, how many episodes did you watch?
The first season.
Okay, fair enough. If you didn't like it by the end of that,
yeah.
you're not going to get into it.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's just it's kind of like Shirley with the stupid comedy. It was I had other things I could watch that entertained me more than it did.
That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, Vikings. What we're in. This is the third season, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we gotten into what 3 episodes of the third season?
Yeah, that sounds 3 or 4, yeah.
3 or 4. And it's amazing, you know. It probably is very historically inaccurate, but I don't know. I love it. I love it following the storyline, and it's starting to become, this season, it's starting to become very interesting because this is when the, and correct me if I'm wrong. Would these guys be considered the Saxons?
No.
So
no, those guys
this is a
come
whole
from
different race.
I would be careful with that. That statement may not be the thing you want to say. This
right.
is a whole other ethnic group, perhaps, but race would.
Okay.
Sorry.
she was thinking a gamer.
Yeah, I think she was.
Yes,
oh,
I
good.
Was. I was like, so this is the Viking race.
The Saxons are of Viking-like stock, but they're more Germanic than Viking.
Okay.
They'd be like cousins
sure.
of the Vikings. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was trying to like fit them in the actual timeline, because you know, in Britannia. Where, like, the Saxons came in, I was wondering why we've never heard, like, of all the Viking raids and things like that.
Yeah.
Because you hear about how the Saxons, like, took down the Roman Empire and blah, 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 whatever, the Huns and stuff like that, but you never hear about the Vikings and their part in history. And, you know, this would be my first kind of... I don't know, historical inaccuracy of watching what they may have accomplished. And
that's fair.
So,
yeah,
like
it is an interesting story. It is very heavily dramatized, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. It's just very heavily dramatized. I don't think it was nearly this dramatic. Otherwise, everyone would be dead all the time. But maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. It's good. It's enjoyable. I like it. Yeah. Have you been watching anything else while you're out there?
Yeah, actually, I have had some TV time, which I kind of cut myself off because I brought my Kindle out here so I could read because I've got like 100 books I need to catch up on. But one day last weekend, I was just sitting here flipping through the channels, and I don't know if it was FX or Sci-Fi, but I caught this like kind of crime drama, like 5 minutes into the first episode, and I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. And I actually sat here all day and watched the whole first season of Blind Spot, and it is amazing. Oh my gosh. They had the first season, they had the season one marathon on Saturday last weekend or Sunday last weekend, and I was just, I was hooked. It's like, it takes a little while, I think, to the second episode, and then it starts picking up. And it's basically about this woman who shows up in a body bag in Times Square, but she's alive. And when she comes out, she is covered in tattoos. The part that I didn't see, which I just need to go back and watch, is how she gets inducted into the FBI, because mid episode one, I came into it, and she's on this FBI team, and they're following these leads from crimes that are matching the tattoos on her body. So each episode is kind of like set up to follow the story of these tattoos that are on her body, but they lead to either crimes that are happening or answers about crimes that have happened or are happening. So it's really, really interesting. I really like it. So if you like criminal drama, this would be definitely a season for you. Season two just started either last Monday or this Monday, but I'm not going to watch it until the whole season's out.
Fair enough.
So, Blind Spot.
All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on real quick? All right. Lots of silence. the only thing else I want to touch on is that, we've got our Patreon page up. It has been updated as far as the video goes, so check that out. See who we are, what we're doing. And then also look at our levels. They are going to be changing soon, but we'd love to get some backers, some patroni, as is the proper Latin I learned today. Ironically, patronus is actually the Latin for patron, and patroni is the plural of patron in Latin. Learned that today.
So, let me get this straight.
Rob was right, yes, I know.
No, not that. But Harry Potter had patrons?
Yes. That you're actually, it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because your patronus is what protects you from the darkness and the dementors. So it's like they're right? Your patron. It makes sense. And actually that one I like, because it's a vague kind of adaptation.
Oh, kind of like a patron saint.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it.
Anyway.
Because I was thinking totem, because it was a huge stag, but all right.
So check out our Patreon page, check out the newsletter, and let us know if there's anything that we can review for you. We'd be happy to. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys real soon.